Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Forgive me, because that was my first time trying that out, so I'm off. But so Pastor Steve started this series a couple of weeks ago that we are on a mission from God. And this mission from God is to reduce every non-essential barrier between people and Him. Why? So that they might know that this life is what? About nothing more than a loving relationship with Him that'll last for all eternity. Now, we all know that, right? At least we're learning that. We're hoping we know this, and we're on the process. We're working out our salvation. But what about all the rest of those people out there? Who's going to tell them? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve started this with the idea and the concept of we should live towards our full reward. And how many like the Boston Rob example? Shrewd as they come, right? He is going to win $1 million at all costs, even if it meant getting married. You laugh. He won $1 million. And he won a second $1 million. Why? Because he set his eyes on the prize. And he never took them off. And when it comes to that full reward, there are many aspects of it. But the ultimate aspect of it is that we live our life the way that Jesus designed it to be lived. And in just like in that story, how many of us got friends that are a lot like Buzz, right? I can fly. Everything's okay. You can tell me all you want that things aren't good, that things aren't okay, but in the end, I'm okay, and I can fly, and I'll prove it. And they'll jump off a cliff, put their life in danger, risk their very being, and sometimes it works out. And how many people in this world will cheer them on? Right? One drink won't hurt you. One toke, as long as you don't inhale, won't bother you. Hey, try to explain that to some young troops in the military when that's said by your commander-in-chief. It won't bother you. You see, the world is going to cheer them on. But in the end, we've got to stand up and we've got to say, that's not flying. That's just falling with style. We've got to be willing to tell them the truth in love, out of the same grace and the same mercy and the same forgiveness that we've experienced. We call it the gospel. We've got to be willing to approach them, and we've got to be willing to tell them. We've got to be willing to share with them the truth, no matter how hard it is. You know, in the word it says the gospel is offensive to those who are on the outside. And I will agree with that. The gospel, the truth, the good news can be very offensive. But our methods of sharing it should not be why it's offensive. Our methods of sharing it should not be why it's offensive. And so, but we've got to be willing to stand up, and we've got to be willing to move forward. We've got to be willing to say, that's not flying. And if you think about it, how many of us has friends who have been in this position? They're thinking that everything's okay, or they're believing everything's okay. They're living their life like everything's okay, and you know deep down they know it's not. What if, go back to where Pastor Steve started a couple of weeks ago, what if they get to that first judgment? When they step out of this world into the next, they say, how did I not know? How did I not know that this life that I just lived was about nothing more than a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that would have and should have lasted for all eternity? Now, there'll be people that will say, there's going to be a line of people alongside of them that are going to be pointed fingers at and say, if you'd adjust, here's the bottom line. I don't believe that God's a God of one chance. Do you? I believe God's a God of many chances. And so I don't agree with that line of people. But part of me wonders, what if I didn't take the opportunity that God put in front of me to tell my friend that that's not flying? That's just simply falling with style. See, we make evangelism hard. We make it difficult. And I think it's because of a generation that we grew up in. How many of you grew up in the generation where you went door to door and you stuck your foot in the door when they tried to slam it, and you just, I'm going to tell you the gospel. I'm going to tell you what the truth is. There's a story that I heard that a guy was really, he came to church and he really had questions about, you know, what this whole religion thing was and what Jesus was all about and where he went. They had this program called Faith. And on every Tuesday night, they sent out two people, because you had to go in pairs because that's biblical, and they sent two people to his door to share with him and answer any questions is supposedly what it was going to be. And when they got there, he had questions, so he invited them in and said, come on in, I got tons of questions. And one of the guys, he was like, no, I need to give you this presentation. I need to tell you about Jesus. And the guy kept saying, but I got questions. And the guy said, no, let me tell you this, and it'll smooth everything out for you. You see, we live in a culture, we grew up in a culture where evangelism was about selling something, about convincing somebody, about telling them they had to make a decision right here, right now, for all eternity. And when I read the scriptures, especially the gospel, I just don't see that. When I look at the parables, Jesus lived out the gospel. He lived out the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness that leads to repentance. He lived that out in his ministry. And he did so in such a way that it was attractive. It drew people in. Have you ever wondered why the woman at the well, when Jesus told her everything negative about her life, would go back to town? And she would look at the people and say, hey, come and meet a man who told me everything about my life. He'll change yours. Have you ever wondered? Let me ask you a question. If somebody was here today and told you all about the negative things in your life, every one of them, how many of you would then immediately go to your friends and say, hey, come meet this guy that told me everything negative I ever did? Anybody? Yeah, me neither. Because I want to keep those things a secret. So there's something in the conversation, there's something in the dialogue between Jesus and this woman that we just don't pick up in Scripture, but we know from the rest of the Gospels, the rest of the early part of the New Testament, these testimonies about what Jesus did, we know that there's something about him that was very attractive to people, the way he carried himself, the way he talked with them, so that when this happened, she would go and invest in the rest of the town and say, come and meet a man who told me everything that I ever did. I believe we were made for a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, we say it every week, this life is about what? Nothing more than a loving relationship that you can enjoy for all eternity. But I also believe we were made for deep relationships with the people that God brings into our life. Why? So that we can reduce every non-essential barrier, the mission of God that we're on, between them and Him. Why? So that they might experience the same thing. Do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus? Do you thrive in your relationship with Jesus? Wouldn't you want other people to have that same experience that you are? Wouldn't you want, as Pastor Steve said a couple of weeks ago, in fact, it may have been last week, where when you leave this earth, the only thing you can take with you is what? People. Wouldn't you enjoy taking people with you to enjoy that relationship for all eternity? And so we need to get out of this mindset that evangelism is about just simply convincing, belittling, taking them to a point of a decision right here, right now. We need to realize that when we look at the New Testament, it just doesn't work that way. We are told in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go into all the world. What it literally means is as you are going, as you are living your life, you share Jesus with everyone you meet. You disciple them. That's the first thing. You disciple them. And so many people will say, you can't disciple the unbeliever. Let me ask you a question. How many of you heard of Christ the first time and came to know him like that? Anybody? There's our some. Rarities. Most people have heard about Jesus and heard about Jesus and heard about Jesus and heard about different things and heard about different things. And they go through this process. It's a slow burn we talked about the other night in men's group. You're being discipled, right? How many of you have kids and they learn to walk? How many when they learn to walk, you said, all right, now get out? Right? I mean, that's what we think about when we think about Christianity. You think about, oh, you heard about it once and now you got it. Now, how many of your kids, when they were learning to walk, took their first step and then never fell down again? Anybody? Yeah, exactly. It's a process, right? You have to learn. And so discipleship starts, in my opinion, in what I read in Scripture, go into all the world. As you're living your life, make disciples. And then what? And then baptize them. Let them make a decision for themselves somewhere along this journey that they're choosing to follow Jesus, that they're choosing to make him Lord of their life, that they're choosing. But it's not before they've been told, they've experienced. They've done all these other things. As you're living your life, share your life with those around you. You know what it's like to have a loving relationship with Jesus that will last for all eternity. Help them to see it themselves. I believe our environment or our approach to sharing the gospel should be to create a safe environment where people can open up to you. They can share the struggles of life. How many of you got struggles in life? How many of you got it all together? Right? So if we don't have it all together, we got struggles in life, shouldn't we create an environment where they can come and share, where they feel safe, where they feel like they really cared for, that they're loved, and that there's somebody who really is interested in what they're saying? And here's the thing. When they open up to you, you got to work on your shocked face. When they say something, you can't go, it's too late. You just demolish the safe environment. You got to work on your shocked tone. What do you mean you did? That's not going to help the situation, right? How many of you experienced that, right? How many of you do that to your spouse all the time? Yeah, me too. It creates an unsafe environment where the truth cannot flow, where what's going on in their life cannot be moved, and where if you don't know what's going on in their life, if you don't understand where they're at in life, if you're not with them and understand how they're living their life and what's going on in their life, it's very difficult to craft the gospel to where they are. Because again, it says, as you're living your life, disciple them, share with them. And it's very difficult if you don't know where they're at to share with them. Here's two verses, Proverbs 15:1. In fact, I challenge you to go read Proverbs 15 altogether because the entire passage talks about this. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. While you're talking to them, they might say something that, you know, it's completely wrong. How you respond in that moment could determine whether they continue that conversation. I'm not saying agree with them, but maybe just don't answer that question. Maybe at that point, just don't address that issue. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. How long did it take you to get where you are on your journey with Jesus? Maybe extend the grace and the mercy that you've been extended. We didn't get it all right. We didn't get up and take our first step and take off running. When we're walking with Jesus, when we're journeying with Jesus, we have these little steps, these little stumbling steps. And in fact, Mike's not in here, but Mike the other day we were working out there, and Chet was with me. He was doing some work out there, and I'm looking up, and Mike is walking out to meet us, and he misses the sidewalk, and he steps off into the rubber pit of the playground. And it went something like this. And I laughed so hard. But doesn't that feel like our life sometimes? Where We are just trying to understand. We're working out our salvation. We're trying to know what it means and where we're supposed to walk, but we feel like we're just stumbling along. And the person that we're talking to, the person that we're meeting with, they're in the same place that we are, somewhere on this journey trying to figure it out. And when they stumble, if we're harsh, are they going to want to continue? Let me put it this way. How many have kids that learned to ride a bike? And they fell. How many of you looked at them and said, "Get up! Stop crying! Get back on your bike!" How well did that work for them? Or how many of you picked them up, brushed them off, hugged on them a little bit, loved on them a little bit, and said, "All right, let's try this again. I'm going to hold on to you a little tighter this time." You see, a gentle answer, a soothing tongue, could make all the difference in the world when it comes to sharing the gospel. So we create a safe environment. I think Jesus provides us the example of Matthew 4:19 when he comes and he grabs his disciples. And there's all kinds of controversy about when did the disciples become followers of Jesus? When did they know who Jesus was and commit their life to him totality? I don't know. I don't think the scriptures are very clear on that. What I do see is Jesus walking along the sea, side of the sea, and he says, hey, why don't you guys come follow me? Why don't you guys come hang out with me? Why don't you guys let me invest in your life and I'll teach you what it means to be fishers of men instead of fishers of fish? Isn't that what he does with us? Somewhere along our life, somebody comes along and Jesus comes along and he says, hey, why don't you just come hang out with me and figure out a different way of life? We'll figure it out as we go and we're going to be true to this, but we're going to figure it out as we go. And somewhere along the line, you're going to figure out who I really am and you're going to give your life to me. And you're going to follow me with your entire heart. I don't know what that looks like. But here's what it looks like for us today. We often say, hey, and I'm the one that says it all the time. Hey, you know what the top of this bullet is for? Anybody know what this is for? Oops. This is an invite card. You take this to your friends. Take this to your neighbors. Take this to your coworkers. Take this to those people that irritate you. Love your enemies. And you give this to them. And when you give this to them, you say this. Hey, why don't you join me at church next Sunday? And I'll buy you lunch. Why do we say, or why do I say, and I'll buy you lunch? Because I want to have a conversation. I want to create an opportunity to share the gospel with you. On your terms, at your pace, as you flow on this journey. So what do we do when we go to lunch? Where do we start when we go to lunch? Ask them about the message. Hey, what did you hear today? What stood out to you today? In fact, this morning, I normally, when Pastor Steve is up here, I usually sit over in this corner, and I post on my Facebook constantly what Pastor Steve says. It touches me in a specific way. He talks so fast, I cannot keep up and tag him in all the posts, so I most of the time get credit, and I have to say, no, that's from Pastor Steve. But why do I do that? Because as Pastor Steve said last week, we are all multi-talented people. Nobody in here is one-talent person. If you've got a social media account, you can touch hundreds of people with a single post. And what I'm looking for when I make those posts is people that I'm friends with commenting back and asking questions that I can go and have a conversation with them about what inspired me from that message. So this morning, I wasn't able to do that. So I took a unique approach this morning. I posted, I'm not going to get a chance this morning to post all these inspirational comments, but you can go to essentialchurch.com, you can follow us online, and you can post them, and I'll have a conversation with you later about what you found interesting. Now, why would I do that? Because I want to take them to lunch. And I want to have a conversation. And I want to know what's in their life. What's going good, what's going bad. What's their struggles. Why? Because there are a lot of people out there think they're flying. And all they're doing is falling with style. So what do you do when you get out there? Let them lead the conversation. This isn't a conversation for you to lead. It's a conversation for you to listen. For you to understand where they're at, understand their heart, understand what's going on in their life. It's a time to let them talk freely without judgment. They aren't going to have everything right, are they? But let me ask you a question. Steve asked this question, I don't know, a year ago now, and it just stuck with me. Would you rather be right or continue a relationship? Would you rather be right or continue a relationship? I don't have to be right every single conversation if I'm willing to continue the relationship that right might come to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have it all together, do you? I don't have all the answers, do you? And if we approach every conversation like we have all the answers, we need to tell everybody exactly the truth and everything exactly the way it's supposed to be at every single conversation, how many relationships will you continue? Try that with your spouse. Tell your spouse she's wrong every time. Just saying. You won't make it very far. It's just a reality. Let them talk freely without judgment. We use this phrase, love them where they're at, but love them so much you don't want to leave them there. There'll be an opportunity somewhere along the lines at some conversation that when you let them talk freely without judgment, when you do open your mouth and you do say something, they'll be ready to listen. Why? Because you've allowed them to talk freely without judgment. You've allowed them to express what they believe, where they're at on this journey that God has them on, and then at the right moment, at the right time, you'll be able to speak, and they'll be ready to listen. Listen for what's both said and possibly not said. Jesus, with a guy called Matthew, invited him and said, hey, Matthew, he was a tax collector, come hang out with me. And there was a group of people that when Jesus asked him, they were like, they weren't real good with their shocked face. You know, they were like, how dare he? Well, when Matthew heard the call, hey, come hang out with me, come, I want to invest in your life, what did Matthew do? Matthew threw a big party. Matthew invited all of his friends over to this party and said, hey, there's a guy that's willing to invest in me, and nobody invests in me. Why don't you guys come and hang out? Let's see if he'll invest in you too. And so these people that had this shock face, how dare he? You know what they said when this party happened? Why is your teacher eating with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners? Have you ever wondered about that? You see, there's something that's not said in that verse, in that passage. You know, I wonder if they're really saying is, why ain't he eating with us? You're eating with them people, but why ain't you eating with us? And I think if we're attentive in the conversations, when that person we take out to lunch is talking, we're going to hear a lot of what's not said as opposed to what just is said. And I think we'll learn a lot more from that. You see, John chapter 13, verse 35 says this, my disciples, you are my disciples, and the world will know you. How? By your love. By the way you love each other. And oh yeah, by the way, I also gave you a commandment to love your enemies. So if you love each other in a specific way, you ought to love your enemies in the same way. You see, love is what can transform this world. Love is what died on the cross so that we might have a life. Here's another thing. Have you ever call a receptionist? Ladies, have you ever go into a spa and the receptionist says this? Oh, it's so good to see you today. What can we do for you? What do you call that? I call it the spa voice. Do you really think that person talks that way on a regular basis? If you caught them outside of that environment, do you really think that that person really communicates that way? How many of you have ever heard this phrase? My pleasure. Where's that at?
Chick-fil-A.
What about it? What about it? A different my pleasure. Oh, wow. Right? It's this idea of, here's what you got to do with your friends. You have to be authentic with them. You can't have a spa voice. You can't act like everything's okay when it's not. You can't put on this airs that everything is great in your life. How many people do you know that put on a mask every day, that walk out of their house, everything's great, everything's fine, and then they try to tell you about Jesus? It doesn't work. You have to be authentic with your friends when it comes to time to have these conversations. You know, how many, let's just be honest for a second. How many of you have doubts? How many of you have unbeliefs? Everybody should have their hands up. Do you know there's a passage in Mark where this father has a son who's possessed by a demon, and he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can you help my son? And Jesus says, what do you mean, if? If you believe, do you believe? And his father very authentically opens up to Jesus. He says, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. And when your friend sitting across from you at lunch asks you a question or says something and they're looking for a response from you, and you either don't know the answer, you don't have the right words to say, you just need to be open about that and say, you know what, I'm not sure about that one. What I'm sure about is, but I'm not sure about that one. And if you're with me, how about let's study this together and see what the answer to that question is? How about let's figure this out together, because we're both on this journey. Neither one of us are where we need to be. Let's figure this out together. That's called discipleship. It's called, as you're living your life, lead others to Jesus. That's about what this is all about. I'm going to run out of time. Speak when it's appropriate. That's not a whole lot. I want to finish with two stories. There's a lot of times that when we run into the people and we're trying to share the gospel with them, we know something's wrong, but we don't know what to do. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I had an opportunity. We had a building we had just moved into. This building probably had 30 people attend for probably two decades. I mean, it was just not very many people. And we did our first night of worship. We had over 200 people there. All right, so building that's not been used in quite some time, all of a sudden you put 200 people in it, 200 people got to use the restroom. I'm sitting in trying to worship, and one of the guys comes up and goes, hey, we got a problem. All right, what's the problem? You need to come outside. So I go outside. Toilets are backed up. All right, that's a problem. 200 people. That's a problem. Everybody's standing around this hole in the ground, staring at it. What are you guys doing? We're just looking at the problem. Well, you got to fix the problem. No, we're just going to look at it. I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. There's probably five guys around this problem. I'm like, you got to fix it. I mean, you know what a Drain King is? It's a little bladder you put on the end of a water hose. You shove it in a hole. You got to make sure it goes the right direction because it becomes like a jet when you turn the water on. I'm like, you got the solution. All right. All right, turn the water on. You ever think about this? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He looked down from heaven at all the mess that we're in. Everybody just standing around talking about it. He came down and put his arms dead in our mess and washed away our sins. You ever think of plumbers a lot like Jesus? We'll stand around and we'll look at the mess and we'll talk about the mess, but we don't want to put our arm in the mess. I went up and hugged a couple guys after that. Not joking either. Sometimes doing something is just simply better than doing nothing. Are you going to get it right every time? You might put that drain king in the wrong direction and blow all the water into the building, but at least you tried. Eventually, you're going to figure out which way to turn it to wash away all the sins. Now, I want to finish where we started, because if you'll grasp this, if you'll truly understand what it means to be on mission, there'll be opportunities in your life that you'll get to experience what's going to show up on the screen.
Woody, what are you doing?
Hold still, Buzz.
You did it. Next stop, Andy.
Wait a minute. I just lit a rocket. Rockets explode!
Should have held on longer.
Look, it's Woody and Buzz coming up fast!
This isn't flying, this is falling with style.
To infinity and beyond!
Father, may we live our life in such a way that as we're going through this life, that others truly might realize where they're at. That others might truly understand that this life that we live is about nothing more than a loving relationship with you that will last for all eternity. God, may we experience somebody coming to understand that truth, realizing that you're willing to use us for your glory if we will just use the gifts and the talents that you've given us to meet those people where they're at that you place in our path, that one day they might realize that they're really not flying. And the only way that it's going to change is to accept Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.